it may serve you, but if people who are, because of the ripple effect, routinely being hurt, damaged, harmed, affected by the behavior that you're exhibiting, I call that corruption.
I don't believe that people are quote unquote hardwired for corruption. And again, it's two different ways of looking at it. You know, I had an amazing mentor for 10 years in that wellness company, by the way. And one of my favorite things that he always taught us is that the body is actually a pleasure pathway, right? Now, when we've had hurt, pain, suffering, sorrow, injuries, illnesses, all these things, we start to connect to it as a mechanism for pain and suffering. But if you really look at how we're made, we're actually made for enjoyment. And I don't, and when I say pleasure, people always go, oh, you know. I mean, like, I one of my favorite things in the world is to hug my golden retriever, right? He's warm, he's wriggly, he's happy, he's soft, he's furry, he's just, you know, it's a wonderful thing, right? So our bodies are wired to be on earth, and we've been gifted with this amazing opportunity from incredible, pleasurable, visual, audio, sensory experiences that are unbelievable, right? So that's one way to look at it. And so when you look through that lens, going back to what you're asking me about corruption, I really believe that we either align to love or we align to fear. I think it's ultimately people's responses that is what we have the free agency to choose. I can't choose what you're going to do, Devo. I have no idea how you're going to cut up this interview today. No clue. Have no control over it at all, right? I'm sure you're going to edit it or not. I don't know. Have zero control over what you're going to do. The only thing I can choose here that I fully have control over is how I respond.
Welcome, Third Rock listeners, to the Branding Laboratory. I'm your host, Devo, Chief Experience Officer for the Brand Storyteller and the Fusion Creative Brands. And each week, I have the privilege of speaking with extraordinary leaders and entrepreneurs who are reshaping the way industries work. These conversations go way beyond the surface to explore the core philosophies, the lessons, and the challenges that define the brands that we admire today. And one of the greatest rewards of this podcast is the opportunity to share the insights of some of the brightest minds in business, people who are passionate about pushing boundaries and redefining what's possible. And as I always say, the stories we tell are the brands we build. And this show is a testament to the power of that concept. Let's dive in. Hey, welcome to the Branding Laboratory. I'm Devo. I'm your host. And I'm excited to be here today for what is now our 50th episode. Look at that. Almost 1 year old. Whether this is your first episode or your 50th, or you've been riding shotgun with me for a while now, I am genuinely grateful you have joined me on this journey. I have crossed over the YouTube threshold of 1,000 concurrent listeners to every episode in this new format of the Branding Laboratory. And I don't take that lightly, and it's because of you. So thank you. So if you've ever shared an episode, or you've listened to an episode, or you've dropped a comment, or you've sent me a message, or you've quietly nodded along in your car as you're driving down the freeway, I see you, and thank you and appreciate you for helping me build this podcast. My commitment to the show is pretty simple. Bring you honest, thoughtfelt, soulful, unfiltered conversations that hit you in the heart and leave you thinking about who you are and what you're building and why it ultimately matters. Why does it matter on this planet? So if this resonates, keep listening, keep sharing. Keep inviting people into this space, because that's how we grow. It's because of you. So thank you. And that's how we're going to keep showing up for the next episode and the next episode and the next episode after that. So today's episode is an absolutely beautiful one. And I'm really excited to be able to share it with you. I sit down with Marla. She is the CEO, or as I called her, Maria, at the beginning of the show, the CEO of You to Shine. And she is a powerhouse of a woman. And she's doing some profound, meaningful work in the world of trauma, transformation, energy healing, spiritual leadership. And some shows just kind of, all my shows are powerful. Again, I get some really cool people, but I would be lying if I told you that everybody hits me the same way. Some people just based upon their energy and how two energies collide. And we're going to talk about that in the show. Some people just hit you differently. And today's episode was one of those. We talk about some really deep stuff on the show. We go into the pain that shapes us, the patterns that we carry, the trauma that is unfolding in our lives if we don't deal with it, and ultimately the process of finally becoming who we were always meant to be. That's the whole point of why I personally am on this planet, is to help my listeners, my clients, become who they were meant to be. And Marla is no exception. This conversation took some unexpected turns. We got pretty deep and personal. I had to go off camera for some of that. I may or may not have gotten a few tears in my eyes. Her laugh, her smile is epic. What's the word? Efficacious? Is that the right word? I don't even know. We talk about ambition and authenticity and aura healing, and she did some reading on me. Like, wow. Emotional frequencies. But that's what I love most about the format of my show. I get to derive and drive what we talk about. Nothing's off limits, and everything is part of our humanity. So thank you for listening. Let's dive in.
All right. So tell me about what you do, your business, your organization.
So our company is You To Shine. That's YU, the number to shine. And in 2024, Forbes magazine named us the pioneer of quantum personal development.
Quantum, that's a word that has a lot of power behind it.
Yeah, right? It's pretty cool. And so basically what we have tons of products. We have 17 coaches on the team at this point. But basically what it boils down to is we work with universal laws. And so we help people understand how spirituality and the flow of energy work together, and then how to practically utilize those into everyday life to create huge shifts and changes and quantum leaps in their life.
And how did you come into this? How did you come into this idea, this business, this thing that you're doing? How did this all come about?
The founder of You to Shine is actually Victoria Rader, and I'm her CEO. I actually met Vika in 2015 because I had a sales company, wellness products company. I was selling to doctors all over the country, and I was consistently a top 20 worldwide producer representing that product line, but I wanted to be in the top five or number one, and so I was looking for a business coach. And I had started a lot of networking groups. I was serving on four different boards of directors. I just did a lot of things in around the DC region. And I met her, and she had had a lot of success in real estate and was actually transiting out of real estate coaching, moving more into the realm of spirituality modalities and healing modalities when I met her. And so I actually became one of her very first clients in that transition.
And you had not really gone into that space yet.
I'd done a lot of personal development by that point.
But not, I mean, more on the spiritual side of
Yeah,
things.
but not so much. I mean, other than being raised Southern Baptist.
Yeah, there's religion and there's spirituality. I put them in completely different containers.
That's a whole other thing. But I mean, I always understood God. I always believed in love and spirituality. Yes. But as far as intuitive healing and that realm, I mean, I knew I was highly intuitive. I was starting to realize that as I interacted with people, that I had some interesting gifts that I was just me. A lot of times I was just being me, and then people would point out I was doing things other people didn't do. I mean, that kind of stuff. But I really didn't get that. Well, I have this really interesting ability. I would just go sit with people, and I would just sort of know what their unique gift or talent was. I could just see it. And so and I could just kind of see how the flow of things would move through businesses. So often I would just go sit with a business owner, and I'd just be in the space, and I would notice the employees and say, you've got this great person, but I think they would suit better in a different role, or had you thought about implementing this or that? And I mean, again, just being me, I just spitballing, right? I didn't know I was doing anything. And then people come back to me and, weeks later and say, hey, that thing you told me, I implemented it and it was great, or it made me all this money, or it was perfect, or and I'm like, what did I tell you? So yeah, that was something that I realized I could always do. And I just kind of could always read the room. I just was intuitive about people.
How do you use that in the sense of what you're doing now as the CEO of the company, though? How do you apply that?
For whatever reason, one of the things that I seem to be contributing to the team is I get really good clarity on how we're expanding globally and which products and things we're focusing on. That seems to be something that I contribute to the team. I'm very aware of the team. I love them all individually and uniquely. And I'm in a continual state of wanting to support everybody's growth for their best and highest and for our clients. And I just have a way of just sort of knowing different things that are needed. The other thing that I do, I guess, in a way, or at least I know what my teammates tell me, is that I'm pretty good at protecting the company as well.
In what ways?
Just having clarity sometimes on what's there, or if I need to bring something to the attention of our leadership team that might need to be shifted or changed. And sometimes I just am aligned to what we have going on, or noticing if there's a misalignment.
What were some of the jobs that you've been doing that led up to this? I'm just curious how you got to this point from, I mean, we can go back as far as your teenage years, because you're a CEO, but you're kind of on the fence of entrepreneurialism.
Very much that too. So when I met Vika in 2015, I really thought that I was going to get coaching to increase my sales because she had done so good in real estate, right? What we ended up doing for a whole year was healing a lot of my trauma using the new intuitive healing modalities she was using. And at that point, one that we now have as a trademarked licensed modality exclusive to us that we're sharing was being developed. And I got to be one of the people that she was first using it on. And so by 2017, the sales and marketing business that I'd done for 10 years had run its course. And I'd had so many people asking me to go into coaching and consulting, I decided to do that. Mm. And within 2 weeks, I had my very first clients just right away. It was instant. But I had loved all of the tools she had used with me so much that I was going to her and asking her, you know, the best ways for me to go about getting the certifications or the licenses or the capacity to use the same tools for my clients, because I thought they were so effective. And like I said, I'd done a ton of personal development, but I had never run across anything that worked as quickly or as easily. And so she was building her coaching business, and I started modeling mine off of hers and taking courses from hers. She had moved from being certified to use some of the modalities and licensed in them to starting to be certified to instruct and teach them. And so I started taking classes with her. And that's the way we've run for a very long time. So from really into 2017, beginning in 2018 when I started my coaching business, up to 2024 when I decided to bring everything over to you to shine and become CEO for the company. But what's interesting is that both companies were built through 100% word of mouth referrals. So I can truly tell you that we've built successfully, not just you to shine that she was building by word of mouth, but also my coaching company. And what was happening the last couple years, I guess, starting in 2022, she was starting to overflow clients and create a product for other coaches to overflow into, like through 1099 contracting. Mm-hmm. And so she was sending me clients and students. And after running that way with her for a few years with the other coaches on the team, I just realized that I was loving working not only with clients and with Vika, but also loving working with the team. And so at the early 2024, I just felt really powerfully that I had a different role in addition to coaching with you to shine. And so I went and approached her, and it was really funny because she had just gotten guidance herself from a mentor to bring on a CEO. And so I said to her one day when we were sitting on Zoom, you know, I think I'd like to take a more expansive role with the company. I really love working and helping the team. I love being a part of everything that's happening here. And she looked at me and said, do you want to be CEO? And I said, well, yeah, I do. And so that's what we've been.
Do you find a large difference in as an entrepreneur versus what you're doing now in a more corporatized role, even though there still is a lot of entrepreneurialism to what you're doing?
Yes and no. You know, and let's talk about brand, right? Because you are the brand storyteller. So let's talk about that. So we are following the traditional structure and processes of a corporation, but we do not, in my mind, in the same way as engage that way. For instance, so our brand is for every single person to be empowered to be the light they came to be in the world. And that involves being able to really recognize your unique gifts and talents and having the freedom to fully authentically share them and be free to do so, right? And so that's our brand. And so one of my favorite people on branding is David Corbin. And he talks about in his books about your internal brand and your external brand. Mm. And so our internal brand, first and foremost, is that every single coach on the team, every one of our leadership team, feel fully aligned to what they're doing and the choices they're making within the company. When our leadership team of five makes a decision, we don't make a decision based on majority. We all decide it's aligned or it's not. And so we continue to encourage and support each other, for each of us to really follow our intuitive and internal guidance. With that, we also have realized, you know, as our team is formed, we all are uniquely gifted in the roles that we have in very different ways. That's just really cool energetically to see. And so each of us in our roles is really getting to feel that we fully live into how we're already gifted and talented and aligned. And it's an amazing experience. But that is so important to us because we're absolutely determined that we as a company will live what we're teaching, first and foremost.
When you have all those people together with all those different talents and you're sharing this energy, it reminds me of a really phenomenal quote I read once in the Bible when I was a kid, when two or more people are gathered in his name. And it's sort of like the metaphor about what energy happens when people are together.
It's so true, isn't it, though?
I never understood this concept. I never had a mentor, never had a father, never really had much parents growing up. So I sort of just kind of fast-tracked myself to everything I've done, but I never had anybody that sort of took me on the other side of life and showed me that sort of stuff. So it's kind of interesting. I've only just come into these in the last, we'll say, 10 years, this sort of more existential meaning of things. But it is pretty amazing when you actually are surrounded with the right type of people, what actually happens, or the antithesis of that, when you're around the wrong type of people, what happens. In terms of your business, if you had to think about the core problem that what you and your company are doing, what is that solution first and foremost? We solve a problem, which is X, but ultimately there's a deeper wound or belief behind the problem that the problem is itself rooted in. You solve X, which is...
I believe that we really help people heal that and into getting fully into aligned to who they really are, who their soul is, who they came here to be.
And those that can't do that until they work with you, what's the deeper wound or belief that their problem is actually rooted in? And I'm speaking from personal experience because I do this with my clients as well, but sometimes I'm unable to help myself. And I'm actually in a very turbulent season myself right now. But we can't see our own shadows. We can't see our own impediments. We're like,
yeah, well, that's why it's the shadow, right? It's hidden from our view. And that's it. We all have a ton of blind spots is what I would call them. Yeah.
Why do we struggle so heavily to see our own reflections?
The simplest answer I would tell you is that what I generally find to be true of myself and just about everybody else is a lot of us are really good at giving love, right? We'll give to other people. We're terrible at believing that we have enough worthiness to receive it. And so through that lack of worthiness, whatever it is, yours may have come about in a different way than mine did, but let's say we all have it, it within us, right? Then we'll find our different ways that we hold parts of ourselves separate or reject it. You know, one way we do that is I definitely believe that, and I think it's part of our human condition. When we are faced with something awful, our brain's first response is to deny that it's happening because we're not sure if we can handle it, right? And so does that create a blind spot? Oh, yeah. Right out the gate, right? Right out the gate. And sometimes it takes a little bit to get there. So, but generally, if there's any part of ourselves or someone else for that matter that we can't really have acceptance and compassion for, then we're resisting that, rejecting it, or holding it separate. And that piece is always gonna feel like it's out of, quote unquote, out of alignment or not connected. So it becomes a blind spot. Is the best way I know to answer your question. From, and let me say this, let me qualify it, from my current perspective.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately, why we have such a, and I don't disagree with anything you just said. I've been thinking, you know, why do we struggle so often to sort of unpack our own demons, if you will? I like what you said at the outset of that is sort of the fight or flight kind of concept of, you know, fear, refuse to accept that there's something actually happening. But one of the things I've really been unpacking is sort of this, this egoic notion, like our egos.
Yeah.
Right. And sort of like our view of the world and how we see ourselves versus how other people see us. Right. And like that construct that we've created. I always wonder, it's so interesting to me how many people have like a completely different perspective of a situation. And I'm going through something right now where I have a completely unique way of seeing what I think is very obvious to me. And yet somebody who's very near and dear to me sees it a completely different way. And we're just like, how is this? I don't understand how this is possible. But people just have their own learned behaviors, their own interpretations and everything. It's those layers that we just keep unpacking. And
a lot of times we're very committed to our position too.
Like this cognitive bias type of thing.
So, you know, back to branding. Our trademarked brand is me, which is little M, big E. And what that represents is the little M represents the mortal, the material, and the matter. Right? And the E, the big E is the eternal energy expanding. So when you look at that, we're both. Right? Our body needs to survive. And so through our survival self, we're going to create that. That's going to be the part of us that demands that we live and avoid pain at all costs, right? It's part of who we are. And so that is the part that when faced with anything damaging, detrimental, scary, challenging, unknown, uncertain, unfamiliar, that is the part that's going to kick up all the crazy, what you call, what you're referring to, I believe, is ego or egotism stuff, right? But that bigger E is the part of us that really understands love and light, that really has a higher purpose, that really is wanting us to develop virtues and to be and to serve and to love, right? That is the eternal energy of love Vika's coined it as life originating vibrant emotion that flows through us that gives life. That's what it is. So we're both. And moment by moment, we choose which one.
Why'd you come on this show?
Well.
Why are you podcasting?
Why am I podcasting specifically? For a couple reasons. One is I believe that podcast is a great way for me to be able to share about our company. Because right now, as we're starting this very first year of doing outward marketing, the truth is, I think we've got the best products that not enough people have heard of. Secondly, I know that podcasting is an amazing way for me to develop the skill set of being interviewed and learning how to actively articulate our brand, our company, our mission, our vision, and our purpose.
I hear a lot of common themes in what you're saying right now. And it sounds to me like your work was sort of about growth for a long time. And then it's now seems to be more about meaning. Like you're adding a purposeful meaning to things rather than just sort of trying to grow a business. Would that be a fair statement to say?
I think that is a fair statement. I mean, growth is always a part of it. You know, you and I talked about both of us having some crazy things happening this year, right? And a lot of people I've talked to are. That is also growth, right? So I don't think growth ever stops. If it does, you're starting to stagnate. But you're right. I'm focused differently. And I think there is a natural arc that we follow. I think that there's an amazing arc we talk about a lot where you go from power powerless, basically, right? Where you feel you're at the effect of things, or, you know, like, you know, I talked about living through trauma, living through all these things that are just awful. And then you go through a definite period where you're very power hungry for all the things you didn't have, right? And so for a lot of us in entrepreneurship, that shows up as, I'm going to make so much money that nothing can take me down financially, right? That I have all my needs met, right? For a lot of us, that's how that shows up, or just having the presence, the fame, the power, the things. And then as you move through that, then you start realizing that as you get those things that you wanted, that you were striving so hard to acquire through that power hungry phase to shore up or protect yourself, then there's a new transition into really wanting to feel fully empowered to be who you are and help empower others, I believe.
Mm.
And so I think that that's an inevitable experience that people go through.
Is there anything in particular about yourself that you've had to unbelieve about yourself in order to be who you are today?
I have so many parts of me that have been in hiding for so long. It just was a natural tendency or setting of mine. I spent so much of my younger life trying to keep things hidden.
You were keeping things hidden before. So you had a traumatic childhood as well?
Well, I had an interesting childhood. There just was always an idea of, you know, don't let anybody see the things that aren't working, right? We have to put a good face on everything. Mm. We have to look like we've got our act together, even when we don't.
Yeah.
My mother was amazing at that, right? You know, no matter what happens, you don't let them see. And so for me, I would say throughout my whole life, my internal battle is really letting myself be off the hook, authentic, and let people see me. And it's a funny thing because, and it's not necessarily about even hiding anything that needs to be behind the curtain. It's just even hiding from the vulnerability of saying, this is exactly what I think, or this is exactly what I can do, or this is my gift, or this is my talent, and being able to really be proud to own it out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
That has been, for me personally, that's probably been one of my biggest holdbacks.
What did you do to overcome that?
What am I still doing to overcome it? I think it goes back to the conversation we were having about worthiness. For me, there's been an immense fear of not wanting to appear like I'm bragging or going into pride or egotism, and trying to find balance between really owning my gifts and my talents and my abilities and how I feel about things, how I think about things, what's really true for me, without sacrificing my humility or even at times would be more honest that other people perceive me that way.
Mm.
Right? I don't want to lose connection with people.
Was there something that happened as a child that was centered around shame with you?
Yes and no. I mean, I think probably every family has their growing up experience of having things that we're not going to share with the public or with the world. Right? My mom, when I was a kid, my mom was sick a lot. And there were a lot of times she didn't want the people outside the home to know how sick she was. So my family locally was involved in politics. And so that brought a whole other, you know, my dad was a judge and in a small town that was very visible, that made us very visible. Right. It was really fun being 16 and having the police call the house before I came home on the week, you know, after being out with friends and say, you know, Judge Ford just thought you'd want to know where your car was tonight. You know, that was a blast. I had a lot of reasons to be in hiding, dude.
When you think about your trajectory, let's just go 10 years ago. Where were you 10 years ago? What were you doing 10 years ago? 2015.
2015 would have been that very first year that I met Victoria and started coaching with her. I was desperately trying to get my sales business to increase.
What did you believe about success 10 years ago that you've now completely outgrown 10 years later?
I think at that point, I definitely was measuring it more materially. Like you said, back to the egotism It was about being visible, being on stage, being the authority, being the leader, being the right, all those outward facing personas. It was definitely more about that then. Now success is more about, am I happy in what's meaningful to me? Because I believe if I am, the other things that they take care of, they'll sort themselves out if they're meant to be.
The funny thing is when you're in a forward-facing business like you are, and other people are looking to you for inspiration, education, leadership, whatever it is that you're offering, there is a fine line between an image you have to uphold and the authentic version of who you actually are. Sometimes those lines don't necessarily blur, and I'm just curious what your take on that is.
Actually, for me, I am working more and more for myself to break through that. I am who I am. And here's the thing. I'm not going to change another person's perception. I have basically presented to you today a person who is highly successful and a freaking mess. I'm both. Nobody's all one thing. None of us are. For me, the coming out of hiding piece or the feeling of that is being able to authentically own all of it without fear of rejection or recriminations or judgment or criticism or comparison.
Because when you do that, the real people that you want to work with actually surface.
100%. 100%. Because see, here's what my old fear would have been. If I tell you that I still have unhealed trauma while presenting myself as a person who helps people heal trauma, you might not want to work with me if I don't have my shit together. You see what I mean?
Totally understand what you're saying. I fully feel that sentiment.
That's that fear. But in reality, the fact that I'm going through all the things I'm going through and I'm here and I'm smiling and I'm laughing and I'm just here to have fun with you and let's hold this space for whoever needs to hear it today, that's a huge success for me too.
And it is a magnanimous smile.
I'm happy to say I'm a shit show today and I'm thrilled to be here.
We're just reflections if we really show up for people, right? We just want to be a mirror. Do you think that there's a cost for ambition? Because you want to build something. You're here to leave a legacy, whether you want to or not. You're here to build something that has some sort of a lasting impression on people. And that requires some level of ambition in order to do that. But I'm wondering, is there a cost? And what is that cost?
Here's what I believe about that. I believe, this is what I believe. I believe everything we experience has a low vibration or high vibration to it, including the ambition. That's right. So ambition, if it's its lowest frequency, if the ambition is just for the material, the greed, then that's one kind of ambition. But if you look at ambition to me through the lens of its highest vibration through love, then what that is a deep desire, driven desire to expand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think so much depends on how you're defining it and the emphasis you're putting on it and how you're interacting with it. I am extremely ambitious, but I'm not ambitious at this point from how can I step on somebody else to get to where I'm going. I am ambitious that as many people as I can empower to have their journey that's exciting and successful and everything they wanted, like I'm having mine, that's a worthwhile ambition.
What happens to people that are ambitious, have a modicum of success, and then become corrupt? Are they inherently engineered for that in the first place, or did power corrupt them? In other words, people that become corrupt, were they already hardwired for that, and so therefore they put themselves into positions in order to propagate that? Or is it the authority that they acquired because of their ambition, they became corrupt?
There's a lot there. So first of all, we would have to look at what are we defining as corrupt? Because I believe there are a lot of people I might perceive as corrupt who don't perceive themselves that way.
I mean, I think anything that has any sort of damage or deleterious
illegal, immoral, or unethical,
it may serve you. Mm-hmm. But if people who are, because of the ripple effect, routinely being hurt, damaged, harmed, affected by the behavior that you're exhibiting, I call that corruption.
I don't believe that people are, quote unquote, hardwired for corruption. And again, it's two different ways of looking at it. You know, I had an amazing mentor for 10 years in that wellness company, by the way. And one of my favorite things that he always taught us is that the body is actually a pleasure pathway, right? Now, when we've had hurt, pain, suffering, sorrow, injuries, illnesses, all these things, we start to connect to it as a mechanism for pain and suffering. But if you really look at how we're made, we're actually made for enjoyment. And when I say pleasure, people always go, oh, you know. I mean, one of my favorite things in the world is to hug my golden retriever, right? He's warm, he's wriggly, he's happy, he's soft, he's furry, he's just, you know, it's a wonderful thing, right? So our bodies are wired to be on earth, and we've been gifted with this amazing opportunity from incredible, pleasurable, visual, audio, sensory experiences that are unbelievable, right? Mm. So that's one way to look at it. And so when you look through that lens, going back to what you're asking me about corruption, I really believe that we either align to love or we align to fear. I think it's ultimately people's responses that is what we have the free agency to choose. I can't choose what you're going to do, Devo. I have no idea how you're going to cut up this interview today. No clue. Have no control over it at all, right? I'm sure you're going to edit it or not. I don't know. I have zero control over what you're going to do. The only thing I can choose here that I fully have control over is how I respond.
True.
And how I choose to respond. And that's the one thing that we all have. We all have the ability to choose our response. Now, have I done some things that are not great? When I'm really in fear and lack and anger and hurt, absolutely, we all have. So I think what you're defining as corruption is really comes down to that simple choice: are you responding through fear, or are you responding through love?
I think that says that in the Bible too.
Probably
fear and love.
None of these are new concepts.
That's a mind fuck to wrap your head around. Everybody thinks they have like this unique zone of genius, but everything is just sort of a replication and an interpretation, right? Like even what I'm teaching, it's like I didn't come across these concepts originally. I learned them from somebody else, and then I created my own interpretation on them, and now I'm delivering them back to you in a repackaged way. So sort of like, it's like I saw Smurfs has another movie coming out, and I was like, I watched Smurfs when I was 12 years old. I didn't know Smurfs was a big deal again.
No, it is. Well, you know, and I think it's here's the thing. Like our company, we work a lot with universal laws, right? We work with love, God, universal laws. The cool thing about universal laws, I mean, these are the laws that actually govern the flow of energy, right? And there's thousands of them.
Indefatigable. Thousands.
But they're universal. You know, the reason they're called universal is they apply universally, right? So we can take a law. Let's call it, let's say law of polarity, right? We can apply that, and we can look at every atom has positively and negatively charged particles. And I can also tell you that everything has a low vibration and a high vibration. It's amazing. I mean, at our worst grief is also when we have our highest potential for the most joy. They govern the flow of everything, mm-hmm. of all energy. And so that's why they're universal. And so what you're talking about, that's eternal. That's as old as old.
When you have your highest levels of grief, it's almost like that's also the time for the biggest breakthroughs if you're open.
Can
to
be,
it, right?
If that's how you choose to respond.
What's the freeway that runs through where you live? What's the biggest freeway?
I-95, north to south.
If you could put up a billboard tomorrow, what would it say?
You matter.
Why is that so important?
Even the conversation we're having, I think one of the things that I want most for people to be able to do is recognize that everything about them matters, every experience, every talent, every gift, every talent, every ability, every relationship, every choice, they matter.
When people are listening to this podcast, and there will be quite a few people that will listen to it, what do you hope they gain from listening to this?
I really would hope that people realize through this, again, that they matter, that you're not alone, and that you're loved. Even when you don't think you are.
There's a lot of people who need to hear that message, I think.
I think so too. Well, I did today.
Do you feel loved?
I do.
You used to be on stages. I'm assuming you're still doing some of that, you know, on podcasts. When you leave the room, what do you want people to say about you?
It's less about what I need people to, or want people to say. I want people in my presence to feel that anything is possible for them and that they're empowered, that they've got this, and that they're loved and cared for.
Where can people find you if they want to get connected with you?
YouToShine.com.
You on social media?
Yes.
You personally?
Instagram. I'm at Marla.Ballard on Instagram.
And is that where you do most of your social?
That's where I'm doing most of my social, and Facebook.
No, LinkedIn.
Facebook, I'm Marla Ford Ballard. LinkedIn, I'm Marla Ford Ballard.
Do you find social media to be effective for you?
I'm not great at social media yet, Devo. I'm working on that.
There is a strategy to it.
There is.
And, I think it's sort of centers around most of the stuff you've been talking about.
Yeah, there is a strategy to it. And I'm learning. One of the things that I'm really learning is consistency with social media. And right now, really, really picking one message and sticking with it. As far as, and so in that way, I think, you know, we're exploring paid ads programs now too on social media. But mostly I like the fact that it is a place where I can stay connected to people. More than anything else, it's a way that I get to, still see what friends are up to that maybe live far away or that I don't see from time, you know, for years, and get to share what I'm doing too. I still see it as a connection platform more than a sales platform.
Yeah, 100%.
But like I said, I'm not great at it yet. I'm working on that. That's one of the skills that I'm developing.
Well, you had one of the C's correct, consistency, but I think clarity, and you said one a second ago, connection. I think people often forget that it specifically is social media for a reason. Mm-hmm. And if you can be consistent and show up with some sort of clarified message and actually spend time connecting with people, I think you can have a really big impact. I mean, if just one person hears your message and is touched by it, for me, that's a metric of success. Like the numbers game is sort of, you know, that's great. You can make money off of it that way. But the whole point of it is to have an impact.
That's generally what I have in my mind, even going on podcasts. I really have no idea who's going to hear this or who's going to listen to it. But if anything that's said by you or by me helps one person today, then great. That's a success.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to get more of you. Let's stay in touch. This was a good conversation. I enjoy having these types of conversations, but not a lot of people are willing to go into this space.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
Well, the good thing I'm real committed to coming out of hiding and practicing my authenticity today, isn't it?
Well, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. I think that there is a lot of different ways, just sort of my takeaway from this conversation so far. Your brutal honesty, your charisma, you're very charismatic, but I think your smile and your laugh really is probably my biggest takeaway from the podcast today. And it's very genuine. And I think it really comes across. So
thank you.
That episode's going to stay with me for a while. Really is. Conversations like this one with Marla remind me why I started the Branding Laboratory in the first place. Not to build a brand, not to push an agenda, although I do some shameless plugs, but to create a space for real stories, real healing, and real transformation. And to introduce you to guests that you may or may not have ever heard of before or may never have an opportunity to hear from again about what they're doing in their corner of the world. And Marla brought the heat today, not just with her words, but with her energy, literally. And if you felt that during the show, I encourage you to check out her work. She's on Instagram, LinkedIn. You can find her on the webs and all the places. And if you're in a season where you're craving clarity, or you're craving that kind of growth that she can bring, don't sit in the swirl. Reach out to me, reach out to Marla, and let's get connected. And hey, if you haven't already, please subscribe, leave me a review, share this episode with your friends, with your family, anybody who you think might need to hear this particular format, this particular show. You're not just a listener. Thank you. You are part of this thing that we are building together, one story at a time. And I can't wait to continue the process with you. I'll see you next week. I've got more guests that are just lined up one after the next. Marielle, to my producer, thank you so much for all the hard work in vetting and interviewing and onboarding and all the things that you do. I couldn't do it without you. I really appreciate you. And again, listeners, thank you for being here. Until then, keep showing up as the most you version of you. That's where the real work begins. See you soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon.